The Ultimate Rest, Commentary for the September 25th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4, verse 9, NIV. In the New International Version of the Bible, the word rest occurs 508 times. The word Sabbath, often equated with rest, occurs 154 times. Despite this, rest all too often is not a part of many Christians' experiences. Instead of finding peace in Christ, they find never-ending warfare over jots and tittles that have little to do with salvation through Christ. From experience, I know that some may already be seething, ready to fight because I did not quote from their preferred version of the Bible. It reminds me of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to visit. Martha wanted to make everything perfect for Jesus and immediately went to work. But Mary chose instead to sit at Jesus' feet, hoping he would instead make everything perfect for her. Martha grew more upset by the minute and finally requested Jesus to order Mary to help her. Jesus did not respond as she expected. Instead, he replied, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." While we are tempted to fill our lives with trivial matters, we often fail to see what is profoundly important. We do not see the forest for all the trees. When we visit the creation narratives in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we find ourselves in another anxiety-provoking squabble. For some, whether the accounts, despite their differences, are literal, is a proverbial hill to die on. They do not see how their faith in God can survive without a literal creation story. Some even go as far as to claim the Sabbath becomes meaningless without a literal understanding of creation. However, such shaky theology implies a house of cards that all support one another but cannot survive the slightest breeze. That seems ironic when Jesus placed so much emphasis on firm foundations of rock rather than sand. We may like to think that dogma is that rock foundation that we all must be built upon, but instead, Jesus is the rock, our sure foundation. When we, like the Pharisees of old, go down the path of creating rules to force ourselves to obey, those rules continue to multiply until they become a heavy burden, removing the peace and joy from our religious experience. The Pharisees felt that since their rules were founded on biblical principles, their obedience was drawing them closer to God. Many feel the same today, but creating such rules to catch people out for violating them does not glorify God, and it certainly does not bring rest. When we focus on literal understandings and draw from those understandings reason to exclude others from a relationship with Christ, we miss the point, and we misrepresent the character of God. Genesis chapter 1 is not about literal 24-hour days. It is a poetic narrative describing two ascending spirals, the first through the third days, intertwined with the fourth through the sixth days. Like a strand of DNA, the two sides are vitally connected. The first day provides what is needed for the fourth day. The second day provides what is essential for the fifth day. Then the third day provides what is necessary for the sixth. It is not coincidental that this poetic model mimics the double helix of DNA. That is the foundation for all created life on our beautiful planet. But the story does not end there. A capstone unites both strands with a common experience, rest. Without rest, our DNA degrades. Some researchers have also claimed that a circa septum rhythm is hardwired into our biology. As a result, We are not dependent upon a literal understanding of Genesis. Chapter 1, as foundational for understanding the rest set up at the beginning of chapter 2. A biological necessity would indeed make a day of rest a blessing, and even sacred to our existence. Established at the beginning according to the Genesis account, rest is a major theme throughout the Bible and receives particular emphasis three times. Each of those times are when the concept of rest had been almost entirely lost or misunderstood. The first time was when the Israelites toiled as slaves in Egypt. Slaves are unable to dictate the terms of their enslavement and likely were pressed into service daily, with any opportunity to rest entirely at the whim of their masters. As the generations came and went, the memory of a weekly rest, the Sabbath, would have become very dim. Hence the exhortation in Exodus chapter 20 to remember the Sabbath rest. The parallel passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, likely written later after they had already begun resting each Sabbath in the Sinai wilderness, does not call for remembrance, only observance. Unfortunately, humanity being what it is, unhappy with the simple instructions in the Decalogue, people began arguing about what rest meant, sometimes in great detail. Therefore, the Pharisees confronted Christ about his disciples for picking heads of grain on the Sabbath. The commandment has no such prescription. But instead of enjoying the liberating idea of a weekly rest and filling the day with joy, men had loaded it down with so many rules it became a burden. One could see how instead of a blessing, it could be a curse to the hungry, who were prohibited from even plucking a few heads of grain to ease their hunger pains. What a welcome message it must have been when Jesus announced that he came to lift those heavy burdens. However, the religious institutions of the day did not take such an announcement lightly. This was because all the rules they had crafted, though biblically based, allowed the Pharisees to exercise control over the rest of the people and secure their positions of authority. Arguing against dogma was blasphemy and heresy, allowing them to take extreme measures against those challenging their authority, as they did with Christ. We often think that because of the message of righteousness by faith, we are free from the Pharisees. But among some Adventist circles, it is breaking the Sabbath if a child goes wading with rolled up pant legs and makes a mistake of allowing the water to come up and wet the edges of those pants. It is hard to not find that just as ridiculous as the controversy over plucking a few heads of grain. As Moses called the people to remember the liberating joy of the rest given at creation, so Jesus reminded the people that the rest, the Sabbath, was a gift, a blessing, not a burden. The Sabbath rest continues to shine as a gift by God to humankind. But we often face a different kind of slavery today that causes us to forget the blessing. Our debts keep us working whatever days we can to service our desire to have things earlier generations did without, but have become necessities to us. We lament that both parents must work an exhausting schedule to have what we need, and wish we could have a single income as in earlier generations and still buy a home. But we forget that those homes were much smaller. Children usually shared bedrooms, while now each child has their own room. Many of those homes had a single bathroom, where everyone waited in line for their turn. While some homes had single-car garages, many had none. Single-car garages were the rule, as most may do with one car for commuting to work and running family errands. Instead of walking or riding bicycles to school and after-school events, children now ride in motor vehicles to everything. Sometimes that includes the three blocks between home and the school bus stop. We have decided that all those things that made a single-income household possible are no longer acceptable, but the costs keep us from enjoying the rest we might otherwise have. Our lives have become more frantic as a result, so we long for the idyllic image of a stress-free past. The rest offered has not gone away. It is still there. We have simply decided we are better off without it. It is like a birthday gift, given with love, but pushed to the back of the shelf in a little used closet. We keep it in case God ever visits to show we still have it, but the rest of the time we do not even think about it. We are not forced to enjoy the gift. No one gets zapped by a thunderbolt for not resting on Sabbath. Some modern-day Pharisees might want to see that, and their ancient ilk reflected that line of thinking, especially in the Old Testament. But that is a misrepresentation of the character of God. Jesus set that record straight with his disciples. They wanted to bring down fire on a town that disrespected him, but Jesus rebuked them for not understanding the character of God. Those who think that God is guarding the edges of the Sabbath with a stopwatch so he can catch people and find a reason to exclude them from heaven are representing their own characters, not God's. We read from the prophets that the Sabbath blessing will be enjoyed in heaven. But that Sabbath will not be the Sabbath of oppression and heavy burdens that men create. Instead, it will be a delight and a joy. As Isaiah wrote under inspiration, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. But we do not need to wait for heaven, as our verse at the beginning of this commentary said, the rest remains even today, simply waiting for us to claim it. It can be life-changing, bringing blessings we never knew possible. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the scripture and other reference footnotes for this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You will also find hundreds of other commentaries and podcasts at the website. May God richly bless you and your family.